see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. There's armies in the cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Just.
And welcome to Watchmen for Jesus Bible study for tonight. I got a full evening for you tonight. Oh, it's going to be controversial. It's going to be controversial tonight. Those just joining us, my name is Thomas Gamble. And I am the host of this Bible study. And I'm the host of the radio program from 4 to 6 p.m. Monday through Fridays. And today I was going to talk about in the broadcast about the giants and the aliens and all that stuff. But God, when I got started, I realized I had to talk about the children. And try to wake some people up, man, because it's coming. You know, they're going to take those kids. They're going to have the kids because the kids to them equal the future. And for them, the future is a new world order. And to get that culture, listen. By their deadline, which is specifically the year 2025, is their deadline. Now, it's not God's deadline. Nobody knows what God's deadline is. All kinds of things can happen to mess theirs up. But so far for them, they keep moving forward because sin that was brought into the world. People aren't understanding this right now. They're trying to find man-made ways to stop this train from coming. And all they're doing is standing on the track. See how many people can take out before the train will stop. It's not going to stop. Only Jesus Christ looms over the train will take it off the track. He'll start all over again. So much heresy is coming down. And someone that is on our side, so to speak, and those of you that's been studying the book of Revelation, someone passed on to me about some things people are passing on to him through the Facebook. For the end times events, chapter 6, the sealed judgments, Revelation 6, 2, the white horse is false religion, humanism. What? Revelation 6, 4, the red horse was the First World War. Revelation 6, 5, the black horse was famine after World War I in Germany, Russia through expropriation of the peasants. Revelation 6, 8, the pale horse was the Second World War, fighting on to the fourth part of the earth geographically. Revelation 6, 9, if Sheol or Holocaust, they cried for vengeance at the Holocaust, which no Christian would do. Revelation 6, 12, the atomic bomb test in Nevada, I assume they talk about, after World War II in the 1950s and 60s. People think that the end of the world had come, but God has never said this. In Revelation 8, 1, the seventh seal, they say a half hour in heaven is about 20 years. When they start, the Oslo Agreement of September 1993. Chapter 8 and chapter 9, the trumpet judgments with the Third World War, Ezekiel 30, it just gets worse. Family, these people have no idea. I don't know where they're getting all this mess. To being lied to, the churches are failing miserably. These religions are failing miserably. And unfortunately, the ones inside the churches are succeeding in confusing people. You heard me right. They're there to confuse. A church is not a religion. A church is not four walls. A church is not your favorite pastor. A church is where two or more are gathered in Jesus Christ's name. That's the church. They've got it all messed up. The Bible's specific. Mankind is not. Well, yeah, mankind is specific. Specifically wrong in almost every case. King James Bible is true. It's irrefutable. But it can't be denied. Doesn't make it untrue. Because mankind's trying to put a square box in a round peg in a square hole. And it's not going to work. Well, I mean, that's just a sampling of different ideas. And you got Carl Gallup or whatever in Florida says we're already in the sixth trumpet. So that means the seventh trumpet is Armageddon. So that means, you know what that does? That matches up with the post-tribulation rapture. It matches up with the preterist and Calvinist saying everything's gone already, all the tribulations are finished. It matches up with the downfall of America being called Babylon. It matches up with the coming of the Christ, which is Sananda Emmanuel, the false prophet. Everything matches up to the trying to get rid of the seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven bowls already done. And now this fake World War III, a fake pre-trib rapture, and you got yourself disclosure. That's what I see matching up. A big lie. We're not even in the first seal yet. You see. And there's so much out there that's wrong. That family, studying your Bible is real important in Bible study. That's the point. It's for your own Bible study, yourself, to know what it really says. You can't trust these preachers. Trust yourself, the Holy Spirit, and the King James Bible. Then you got something going on. But right now, those churches are dangerous. And these religions, no religion. Family, there's no exception. Not one religion you can trust. Not one. Not even Christianity. It's not about Christianity, for goodness sakes. It's about Jesus. What are these people thinking about? It's not about a religion or a country or a flag or patriotism. It's not about Christianity. It's about Jesus. What is so wrong about trusting in Jesus? Well, Tom, you really should read this commentary, this book over. It's really better about, you know, James White. No, why do I have to read that? I got the King James Bible right here. What's the big deal? Well, you got to read the NIV. It's really easier to read. Yes, easier to read because they've changed the words and removed over 237 verses. Yeah, it makes it a little easier to read because you don't have to read the verses. There's a problem there. Don't add to or take away from the words of the prophecy of the book. That means the entire Bible. Or your name will be struck out of the book of life. That means you're going to hell. We'll talk about that tonight. Family, don't play around with this book. This is like when people try to play around and massage religion to what they want to say. It's like taking your 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid or 7-year-old kid, give you a loaded, 357 Magnum cock and say, now go play, son. If I was teaching classes, say, for example, and I've advertised it, I put all this stuff out about the biblical principles for making money. So, and I have testimonies, right? I listened to Tom Gamble's, money-making Bible course, and I increased my savings 300%, whatever. So that's out there, right? So then I'd have to get a whole new station to handle all the people coming in, But how long is that money going to last you? For as long as you're alive. How much can you spend at one time? It just sets the bank drawing interest, but what? So what? You say, well, I have this coin. This coin's a 1909 VD, what, I don't know what. It's worth, I'm guessing, here, $25,000. To who? Who's it worth that to? An auction? Maybe you can get it for it, but what are they going to do? If somebody actually buys it, it's worth that much to someone that can buy it, can afford it, and really want it. That's what's worth it. Nobody wants it. Nobody can buy it. Can't afford it. You're stuck with a piece of copper. really. But so let's say you're lucky and you sell your 1909 VDB, whatever it is, for $50,000. Okay, so they bought that thing. Where could that $50,000 go? Yeah, anyway. So they buy this little piece of metal for, $50,000 or something. They are pretty expensive, a 1909 something or other. What are they going to do with it? They're going to look at it. And tomorrow, what are they going to do? They're going to look at it again. Heck, they might even turn around and look at the back of it, too. What are you going to do with it from then on? What are you going to will it to your kids or something? When you get old and you can't do anything, I have this 1909, son, I'm going to will it to you. What's he going to do with it? Probably sell it. Take it to a pawn shop. I don't know. Or keep it. What's he going to do if he keeps it? He's going to look at it. Now, if you get hungry, I wouldn't recommend eating it. I wouldn't recommend beating it into a crucifix because it won't matter anyway. What are you going to do with it when things get bad? Who are you going to go to? You see how much we put into... Well, one thing for certain, we're all going to die. Whether it's... You're going to be taken off this earth. That's a guarantee. That is the end result, no matter... I just don't like thinking about that. I want to do my bucket list. Okay. Well, that has a lot to do with what the Jehovah Witnesses, when they deny, or when they, no, excuse me, when they accept annihilation in theology. The annihilation is wrong. I got a letter. I had a death in the family recently. It's June, middle of June. Death in the family. And so you get letters and cards and all this and all that. And today, like, 3 weeks later or something, anyway, I get a letter from, now these guys are on the ball, let me tell you, Jehovah's Witnesses. And it's a nice little letter, and the truth, and, they hit on with you when you're vulnerable. Yeah, there's a hall, Kingdom Hall, something or other down the street. I've had 3 visit in the past year, and they couldn't wait to get away from me. Anyway, so... I got this letter, and I said, tonight, this afternoon, it came in the mail. Perfect timing. Because it says what happens to us when we die. I thought, okay, I think we might can answer that today. So that's my Bible study. And then I started getting into the heresy of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Charles Taze Russell. Russell's Illuminati. like Bundy's in Nevada, Illuminati. They are the enemy. They worship Lucifer. I'd say it's pretty much enemy. Charles Taze Russell started the Jehovah's Witnesses. Family, you got to get these people out. You got to talk to them, find them, get bicycles, whatever it takes to witness to them. Learn how to talk to Jehovah's Witnesses to get them out of there and Freemasons. So once you bring the Word of God to them, Holy Spirit locks in. To the ones he knows will change over. You may never know if it happens. But at least you've dropped the seed for it to grow. The Holy Spirit will water it. Because family, we're coming to on a fine wire. See all the events around us taking place. And pedophile being looked at as not so bad, as normal. What are you talking about? Oh yeah. When men call good evil and evil good, man, that is picking up steam like a choo-choo train. More than ever, they're changing the laws even. There's the kicker. They're taking away the opportunity for the law to support, even though the laws realistically has been made to be subverted, but the laws were in place, giving us the opportunity to see the example of the law to lead us to God, even though the government, all governments throughout the world, were created to disobey, because Satan is prince of this world. But the laws of the land to placate, but had to be established to follow the Bible, are now being changed. Now that takes away opportunity. That means God's getting ready to judge, and those trumpets are getting ready to blow. This is a paradigm. This is a change. This is a significant sequence of events that's taking place today. Death is certain. But right now, while you're alive, judgment is not. But once you die, judgment is certain. With Jesus Christ, heaven. Without Jesus Christ, a burning, living hell. I don't know how else to say it. Tonight, I'm going to primarily focus on victory over Satan, death. That's something people just kind of don't want to talk about. But not talk about it, don't make it go away. It is inevitable. There's no way around it. You fill out life insurance for your family, for the secular security, temporary, of course, because we go back to selling the 1909 coin. If I will it to somebody, what are they going to do with it? Then that person loses it, will have a 1909 and have no idea the story behind it. It's lost in the life. Nobody knows what it was for. Material things just go away. Their value turns to nothingness. Every single time, no exception whatsoever. So what about eternal security? And willing and hoping and praying that there's annihilation, that I can do my bucket list and do what I have to do. And on this earth, I'm going to skydive. I'm going to climb Mount Everest. Oop, can't do that. I can't afford it. Are you going to do all these kind of things that you never did before? For what? You see? Because when you die, the determination has been made. They'll be in torment until the great white throne. And then they'll be judged and sent to hell for eternity. 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 That means there's no calendars, no stopwatch, no clocks. You see, and we'll end it here and dedicate the broadcast, but it says in the Bible that God looks at the day as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. Well, they take that phrase and say, well, 7 days means 7,000. No. What it means is that to God, time is not relevant. That's what that's talking about. It's not, well, let's apply that formula like pi times squared or something or another. 3.14 is pi. So if God looks at the day as 1,000 years a day, so let's apply that to Revelation. Now you do the square of the hypotenuse and the Pythagorean theorem and all this stuff, and then they come up with, oh, we know when the rapture is going to happen. It doesn't work that way. When it says God looks at the day as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is a day, what that's talking about is God has no calendar. He doesn't look at time like mankind does. That's what that's talking about. It's not giving you a measure to find the mysteries of the Bible and put together a formula and all this sort of thing. It's not what it's for. Time has no essence with God. He's eternal. And we're not yet. But our soul, our spirit is eternal. Where is you going to spend it? Heaven or hell? Simple as that. They're not preaching that in the churches. They need to do it. They're not preaching about the millennium. They need to do it. You know why? Because the churches are trying to keep people from God, from Jesus, from salvation. So if you preach about the millennium, how great it's going to be, what's going to happen, man, they'll say, I want to go there. They don't want you to do that. You preach about hell, I don't want to go there, but not doing that. But they sure preach about the 10% tithing, don't they? Sometimes two or three times during the service. And then they have the call for coming forth and giving your life to Jesus. They say, well, if you're going to come, come on. I'm waiting for you. Come on down. Like truth of consequences. Where's the emotion? Where's the feeling? Where's the love? Where's the letting them know what they're going to happen if they don't do it? Used to be there a long time ago, but not anymore. Because it's watered down. God will have his, will carry it out. In other ways, maybe. But the churches are failing. Stand up for Jesus. Well, family, dedicate the broadcast. Let's get moving. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for tonight, for being able to have a Bible study. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for those, Father, that in need of healing. And Father, tonight we pray for Katie Vizuet, to keep her family in her prayers, Lord, that their spiritual battles are being fought in these families, in Katie's family, and other families out there where the children are falling away or where the children are being pulled away. And Father, Satan is attacking our weakest points. Father, we pray for these, for the children and the father to come back to the God. Father, touch their hearts. They need help. And to put protection around their younger daughters. And Father, we pray this for all of us, for other families as well. Because Satan attacks our weakest point. Father, we need the blood of Jesus spread around us to protect us and our families, our loved ones, and to guide them to divine appointments. And Father, somehow they'll turn and they'll seek that knowledge. And those family members will sanctify by witnessing to their own families. Father, we do pray specifically for certain families, and Father, this goes for all as well. Father, we call upon you tonight. Forgive us of our sins. We lay them upon your cross, Lord, and to guide us tonight for Bible study, to what you want us to learn. Father, help me to give the truth, to work through me, that Father, if I have problems, Lord, that, or issues that bring to my attention, Lord, and convict me of what it is I'm falling behind on, that I may repent. Father, listen to prayers, because Father, we see the end times approaching. We see the events take place. We see the false doctrines being taught in the churches. We see the children being attacked. And we see things that are bad being called good, and things we call good are being called bad. And we see that coming before our faces today. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be upon us as you guide us through tonight. Yes, I pray, Lord. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, there's no money in God's kingdom. When Jesus says he's coming back with 10,000 of his saints, he doesn't say he's bringing Google or computers or a Federal Reserve with him, nor does he have heavenly money or some way that you can sell something. And it's about doing, having our skills, whatever they are, and helping each other with no expectation to have a return. This whole world, everything in it is set up by Satan. I mean everything. When Jesus comes down, it's all gone. It's roto-rooted out of here. But right now, Satan is prince of this world, and Paul says so in his scriptures. We'll talk about that tonight. But family, they're not talking about this. They better, because Satan controls all the governments. He controls the harmony, beauty, and the arts. He controls the politics, that would be the governments. He controls the economics in preparation for the mark of the beast. He controls all of it. He set up philosophy to confuse religion. He set up religion to confuse God and Jesus Christ, truth. All religions, bar not even one, inclusive of Christianity. People keep forgetting S-E-C-T-S. How many sects of Christianity are there? So if you accept one, then somewhere God's a liar. And I'm not going to call God no liar, and God no lie. So which religion or sect of Christianity is the correct one? They're all different. They pick and choose what they want to believe like you would a salad bar. What you don't like and what you do like. Well, don't work that way. King James Bible lays it down. Talks about the Trinity. It's there. Talks about salvation. Tells you exactly what you need to know. Satan controls the education. Every single bit of it. Satan controls philosophy. Set it up. Religion. All of it. Science, you're told only what he wants you to know. Arts, all the arts, acting, movies, Hollywood, paintings, everything. How they do that? By channeling. The politics and the finances, all controlled by Satan for now. You see? So you're in enemy territory, but you got protection through Jesus Christ. And there's coming a time at the fifth seal when saints will be under the altar. There will be sacrifices. There will be martyrs. It's coming. But family, all we got to do is follow divine appointments, get right with God, take Jesus as Savior, find out what he wants you to do. Not what he can do for me, but what we can do for him. Where do we go from here? Well, what happens to us when we die? Man, that is a touchy subject, isn't it? And it is very controversial. Why do I do this to myself? I touch these controversial subjects. Well, I'm going to try to broach this one tonight. What happens to us when we die? And then we'll talk about victory over Satan. And that's going to branch out into several areas. Now, the resurrection of Jesus Christ guarantees our resurrection. They're trying to say now that he never resurrected, that he never died. Mary was his wife. That's coming around now. Get ready for it. And that Jesus went to India. He is missing for 20 years. He was in India and all this. Well, I won't give you, I'm not going to elaborate on this, but I'll tell you. What they're saying is the Jesus you think is Jesus, it's Anand Emmanuel. He did go to India, but not Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He didn't. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that looks like an Arab, bronze skin, not blonde-haired, blue-eyed, and long-haired. That isn't Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's Anand Emmanuel we've been seeing all our lives thinking it's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came out of the Middle East. What do you think it looks like? You think it might be Middle Easterner by chance? What a concept that is, huh? He looked more like Indians, like bronze skin, big lips, hair like wool. The blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus we think is Caucasian? Absolutely is not. But you know who he is? Look it up. Ascended Master, Ananda Emmanuel, fallen angel, alien, whatever they want to call him. He's a fraud. He's also calling himself Yeshua, Yahushua, whatever. That's why they're trying to get people to say this name across the board, every nation, every religion, to call him Yeshua. Saying, well, this is what his real name is. Show me in the Bible. Well, it's Hebrew. And the Bible's in English. Yeah, well, no kidding. They're trying everything to get us all to say Yeshua, because when he announces himself to be Yeshua, I am Sananda, alien, UFO, that's going to be part of the falling away. And it's all a lie. His fallen angel, and Swedenborg, a universalist, no less, 18th century, said all they do is lie. Even he admitted it. How high does this go? Your joint's chief of staff at the highest level. Your presidents. Highest level CIA, KGB, all these guys. They know of these ascended masters. They believe. They are the ones fooled into thinking that they're time travelers or aliens or whatever. And they see them. But they're not aliens. They're demons. What happens when you die? Well, he goes to be with Jesus. The body is laid in the grave, but the person, the soul, and the spirit goes immediately to be with the Lord Jesus. And you will see people you knew. You'll see people there that you thought, how'd you get up here? They'll say, well, yeah, well, how'd you get up here? So in other words, he changes your vibration. He takes your supernatural soul and spirit. Your soul will separate you from all the other spirits. Your body separates you on the earth of all the souls. You're the Trinity, but not the Trinity of the Bible, of course, but so it's all threes. It's in threes. But your body, flesh, will not enter the gates of heaven. It cannot. It'll burn up. So God leaves it behind for a period of time. And everything man-made will not make it because the frequency vibration is different. If you want to get technical about it. Enoch was translated. Translated. That means his body vibration, his body structure was changed. It was translated into another frequency. See, God created physics, chemistry, biology. That's how we operate. That's how the world works, is by physical principles, scientific principles. We're never supposed to know, because you can't change it. They can manipulate it. They can't create it. But they've learned to manipulate it, thinking that they have powers. It's called alchemy. And witchcraft. And science is part of it. That's why witchcraft is in classified projects at the Pentagon. And the Russians were working on it long before. Tesla was channeled. But he is a good guy. But they channeled and they, J.P. Morgan took him out in the older age. Knowledge of good and evil. God translated Enoch. God will translate, pull you out of your body, bring your soul, your energy, which is your soul, your personality, character, and so forth, to heaven, if you're in the book of life. If you're not, you'd be sent to hell and tormented until the day that you're judged. There will be those that thought they were doing the will of God, they won't make it. That's the scariest thing of all, is those in Matthew 7, 21, 23. It is specific. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. King James Bible. Now let's look at that a minute. What strikes at you kind of hard at you? What comes at you hardest? That those that tell you in your Facebook, your YouTube, are out and, oh, I love God. I follow Jesus. I have a ministry, all that. So, what's their fruits? What are their fruits? What do they really produce? Are they in a mega church? If they're in a mega church, get out of there. Are they linked up to TBN? Are they linked up to 700 Club full of Masons? Get out of there. Just because they act nice, have nice teeth, grin real big, and give money means absolutely nothing. What are they preaching is what you want to know. Or what are they preaching, what are they leaving out is what you want to know too. Let's move on to something that really can hit you. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied thy name? How about Gene Dixon? Edward Casey? Don't they come close, but no banana? How about all those? How about the priests that Alberto Rivera warned us against? And that California policeman, whatever the term of exorcist, says his rosary. Whoa. Supports the Roman Catholic Church. Pope says there's no salvation except come through the Catholic Church first. It says who? Alberto Rivera specifically says, his testimony, that the priests that are exorcists, they'll come to do the exorcisms, they'll cast out the demons, but according to Alberto Rivera, in his testimony, he was a Jesuit priest that they murdered. Are they really the souls of the dead or demons? No. They're demons, yes. Did the host and the crucifix of this exorcism, whichever it is, really drive away the force? No. You see, Alberto Rivera explains. that what it is a devilish scheme, a clever scheme by Satan to make the people rely more and more on the priest or the exorcist for protection. And it costs them their souls because they don't rely on Jesus. So there's a cooperation between demonic entities, Satan controlling them, and the priest, the witch doctor, or the so-called self-proclaimed demonologist. Oh boy. Then when they do the exorcism, the demon puts on a show and then leaves, giving power to the witch doctor, the priest, or the exorcist. Thereby then they become the victims. Then get pulled into their power, and then they start preaching wrong doctrine. Or saying their rosary, which means nothing. You see how that works? This is supernatural cooperation between the exorcist and the demons to give them power. So it goes back to, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? What does Isaiah 54 says? It says that deeds are as filthy as rags. Why do you think the masons do good deeds? To hide what the masons really stand for. That the first 3 degrees don't even have no idea. They worship Lucifer. Albert Pike confirms it in Morals and Dogma. That's why they don't want the first 3 degrees reading Morals and Dogma. So the first 3 degrees don't read Morals and Dogma because they're told not to. I'd be the first one that would, just because they said not to. I say I'd be. Of course, I wouldn't get past the first degree because that blood oath would say, you got to be kidding me, man. I wouldn't be saying those words. That's nuts. The blood oath they take. Swear to God that you're going to lie. That's what it boils down to. Now, it's got to be a curse to pull people into that. I mean, that'd be the first thing. Oh, we'll be a Mason? Well, sure, I love it. We're going to help build your character and all that. Oh, great, come to the lodge. Okay, so you learn all these things. You start reading through it. And you read the blood oath. Wait a minute, what's this right here? Well, you got to say that. I can't say that. Tear my tongue out by the root. Cut my body in half. Cut my throat from ear to ear. Say what? I ain't going to swear to God for that. Oh, don't worry. It's idle words. There's no idle words, James 5. There's no idle words in God's kingdom. There's no such thing as idle words. I'd say, I can't do this. Well, I know it's going to get ugly for me. They're going to shut you down. That's okay. I've been shut down 3 times on account of that, but that's all right. Family, they will. I know, and I tell you that because I know they will. It's a fact. And they do recruit. They say they don't, they will. They recruit leaders, presidents, managers, police, medical. So they have control. Courts, records, collectors, whatever. That's how they do it. Satan uses them. So, they say, well, we help the widows. We go to hospitals, do all kinds of good things. What about those hospitals? We help people. That's why they covered up. See, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worked in iniquity. So those that have those abilities to prophesy, cast out devils, it was never given to them by God. So where'd they get it from? Satan. God would have known that he gave them the ability to cast out devils, gave them ability to prophesy. He would have known that they would turn their back on him, so he wouldn't have done it in the first place. You see what I mean? So they have that ability, but it ain't coming from God. So what happens when a Christian dies? What does the word say? Philippians 1, verse 21. In Philippians, 1:21 says, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He goes immediately to be with Jesus. The soul and the spirit, the body goes to the ground, whether it's cremated, whether it's lost, whether it's drowned, whether it's thrown in the river. It don't make one bit of difference where on this planet it goes or happens to it. It doesn't matter. God will bring it back during judgment to be glorified. He'll translate it, you understand? And then he'll be judged in the great white throne of the judgment seat of Christ. In the day of judgment. So what did Paul say when it was gain to die? Because it meant going to be with Christ. So when a Christian loves one, when a Christian loved one dies, we're sorrowful. Miss them, go through 7 or 8 stages of grieving. It's natural. It's going to happen. You miss them. Your schedule changes, your life changes. You adjust yourself. But remember that they are with Jesus, and this is far better than being here. But if they're not born again, well, that's a problem. To be asleep in Jesus, the body is in the ground, is dust. If you cremated them, they're just dust quicker than decomposition. That's all I can tell you. You just accelerated the process, that's all. God will bring it back when he does judgment and translate it into a glorified body. There is no wheelchairs in heaven. There's no brand new knees in heaven made out of iron or titanium or whatever it is. Man, you don't even have cavities in heaven. Can't take them with you anyway. You have gold fillings? Well, just leave them back. Can't do with, they're already gold up there anyway. It's why Satan uses the thoughts of terror from the grave to counterfeit the resurrection of the body. Resurrection. Horror movies coming out, zombies, etc. What happens to the body? When a Christian dies, born again, hopefully, his body is placed in the grave or in an urn. The body is spoken of as being asleep in Jesus. When Jesus comes again, God will raise our bodies and give us some new bodies. And speaking of our body as a house, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What's he saying there? He's saying we know that if we die and our body goes back to dust, we will one day have a wonderful new body that God himself will make for us, and we'll live forever in heaven in a glorified body. For the child of God, death is but the door to heaven. So what's it going to be like in heaven? Well, that's a program in itself, but you'll have a body like the glorious resurrection body in 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So what are we going to be like in heaven? We don't know. It's the Bible says you don't know. But we'd be like him. You will know your loved ones in heaven, will you? Yes, you will. because you shall know each other in heaven just as Christ knows us. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, it says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Savior now? Do you know what you're going to belong to Him that you do? Do you know that you're saved? Do you say, "Well, I think so"? It's like saying when you're asked by a parachute packer, before you jump out, "Did you pack your parachute?" "Well, I think so." That's a wrong answer. You better know you packed that parachute. Or if you had someone else pack it for you, and you, before you jump out, "Hey, I got a question." "Oh, what?" "Shh." That's the sound of the air. "Did you pack my parachute?" I think I did. Wrong answer. The child of God, death is but a door to heaven where you shall live forever in the presence of your Lord. But to do that, you've got to have a victory over Satan and last to the end. That's where we come to. You know what annihilation is? That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses believe. It's the false teaching. People who do not believe in literal eternal lake of fire for the punishment of the wicked. Annihilations is the belief that the wicked shall be totally destroyed at some point in the future, and that no eternal place of torment exists. But if you go to Matthew 25:41, you got a little bit of a hiccup there. Matthew 25:41, it says, Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That's pretty clear. That doesn't leave any wiggle room at all. And Luke 16:24. And it says, "And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Luke 16:21, "And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell upon the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores." 16:22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." You see, that's where the men of God were before Jesus Christ died and born again, resurrected. They were in Abraham's bosom. And the ones in hell could see them. That's where Jesus went for 3 days, to Abraham's bosom, and preached the gospel. So then they came out of the bosom into heaven. Right there it says. But here in hell, they could see those in Abraham's bosom in paradise. See, Lazarus was also one of them. In Luke 16:24, this beggar that was in hell, he cried and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus." He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Tells you right there. That annihilates the doctrine of annihilation. How many thousands of people are involved in this that are being led astray in the Jehovah's Witnesses? Because they miss those scriptures that are so important. A lot of them are taken out of the Bible so they don't see them. You see how devious that is? That's why Westcott and Hort, two Freemasons, modified the Bible. Not the King James, but the other Bibles. Laid the groundwork for all the modern Bibles of the 19th or 20th century. NIV and ESB, all of them. I mean every single one except for the King James. Why people can't see that, I just don't understand it. But anyway, victory over Satan. The Christian life is a life of warfare, as I'm trying to get across to people. I've been there. It's every day for all of us. We're called to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ and to war with good warfare. It has nothing to do with lock and loading with an M16, an M14, an Uzi. It got nothing to do with Joel's army, which is of children. A lot of your preachers today, your Christian identity preachers, are preaching rebellion and death. Your Andersons and James and Rick Warren, Rick Joyner, all these are preaching hate, venom. It says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The demons are assigned individuals, millions of them. The angels, your guardian angels, keep them back. You pray on the full armor of God. Family, this is every day, even in sleep. They open up portals by child sacrifices. Now they've got technology to open up portals to allow the demonic entities to come inside, not requiring human sacrifices. Your enemy is Satan. Satan was originally created as a beautiful and wise angel named Lucifer. And only in the King James Bible does it refer to Lucifer, the Latin for the light bringer. Not morning star. Strong's concordance is absolutely incorrect. It is wrong. It calls Lucifer a morning star. That's criminally incorrect. Lucifer is Latin for the light bringer. Bringing knowledge to mankind that was kept in bondage in the Garden of Eden, they said. What did God say to Adam and Eve? Don't eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Keep them from knowledge. Yeah, knowledge is going to get them killed. That's why. But he had to have something to exercise their free will. Otherwise, you don't have free will. You see why he put that there? He gives you that choice. He tells you, don't do it. You love me. You cherish me. I'll love you too. But I got to have rules here. And he wants us to love him unconditionally. Well, that's why he gives us a choice. Unconditional love. You have to have free will. To have free will, you got to have a choice to make. And he's got to say, you don't take this choice, but take this one. Well, I love and respect God. I'm going to do what he says. Well, the game going on, I don't like using just game, but this is what's happening. The attack is for Satan to get you to disobey God. And you have to be strong enough to not. And there are dire consequences. It's called death. This ain't no game to play with. But people play with it every Sunday. We going to church? Yeah, we're going to church. Then after we're going to go to the buffet and we're going to do this and do that. Well, I'm going to play my golf game. Okay, darling. And we'll go out and play this and play bingo, whatever. But we're going to go to church, aren't we now? Okay. So they sit there. Make sure you put the money in the plate. Make sure you move your head up and down and smile and do the dip and duck with your head. Yep, up and down, up and down. And say a little Jesus here and a little God there. And I got it done. I've been here. You see me? I'm out of here. That's not how it works. It's not with rock and roll music either. Mega churches are designed to keep you from having a personal relationship with God and other people. And to keep those convicted, the rock and roll music placates them. That is so evil, and that's exactly what's going on today. You see, Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. Because he and his fallen angels, today they call them aliens. Today they call them ascended masters. They changed their name, but they're fallen angels and they're demonic and they are evil. Talked about fallen, Sanan d'Emmanuel is one of the fallen angels. It's who we're talking about here. Saint Germain, El Moria, Hilarion. They got these ridiculous names, but they're not saying what their angelic name is. I can tell you who Sanan d'Emmanuel's angelic name is, Raziel. And each one of them's got a real angelic name. What's the real name of Satan? Lucifer. Called Satan when he kicked out of the heavens. From the third heaven to the second heaven. He goes around like a roaring lion. What that mean is, he's going from second heaven to first heaven. He can appear in this land. You know what his name is? You know what Satan's name is in the New Age movement? Sanat, S-A-N-A-T, Kumara. Satan, Kumara. Santa Claus. Satan and Sanat are anagrams of Satan. Puts a whole new lot on things, don't it? Though you cannot see them, except when they manifest, and they can't manifest when you're praying against them. That's why they can't have anybody Christian here on earth praying against them. Now you see why they got to remove. They got to have the falling away. Now you see that. They're the real enemies of the child of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he's not talking about a treehouse and a great redwood tree neither. He ain't talking about the top of the UN building. He's not talking about Empire State Building or whatever else, or Sears Tower. He ain't talking about that. So what in the world is he talking about here, high places? He's talking about the second heaven in the universe. Beyond that is the third heaven where God resides, separated by water, a whole lot of water. NASA are a bunch of liars and Freemasons. NASA runs a space research program. They even call it in the Iron Mountain Report in their objectives to control people in their conclusions. One's a space research quote, space research program aimed at unreachable targets, unquote. And even to develop an extraterrestrial menace. They just tell you right there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's earthbound. Why not flesh and bone? Why not flesh, bone, and blood? I'll tell you why. Flesh on earth is dying. Blood keeps it living. Over a period of time, it ages. I can tell you about that. But in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were created, is flesh and bone. Because that's eternal. When you begin to die, when the human body becomes mortal, You require blood. Because the blood, the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. Without the blood, you don't have the life. You see how important that is? The blood represents sin. Because once Adam and Eve, this is heavy what I'm telling you now. When Adam and Eve sinned, blood began to run in their bodies. Because the bodies began to die. They were a blood sacrifice. They were the first sacrifice that God put on the altar. They had to live long enough to have children, 900 years to be exact. So they transferred it into animals to be sacrificed in anticipation of the coming Messiah. But the bodies were still dying. That's why they had to have blood to nourish the cells. If you're eternal, you don't need blood. So when the body is translated, like Enoch was, the blood is removed from the body. God can do that. You don't need no transfusion. Life is in the blood. So it's all flesh and bone. Blood is not required. Ecclesiastes 9. No. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Wait. Let's go to 11. Oops. Okay, hold on a second here. Oh, yeah. No oops. Ecclesiastes 12. Oops is gone. We're on track now. You go to Ecclesiastes 12. And it talks about aging, getting old. The grasshopper may be interpreted in two ways. First, the grasshopper here, it talks about in Ecclesiastes 12:5. The grasshopper is a burden. That is, even the lightest objects are too heavy for the old person to carry. Or the grasshopper drags itself along, caricatures the old man, the bent over and twisted, inching toward in jerky, erratic movements. Desire fails in the sense with natural appetites diminish or cease altogether. Food no longer has flavor or zest. Other basic drives just kind of peter out. Sexual vigor is gone. So this degenerative process takes place because man's going to his long-lasting home of death. So this goes along with death and the grave. Soon the funeral procession and then moving down the street. So the advice of the wise man is to remember the Creator in 12:6. Now what does it say in 12:6? Ecclesiastes 12:6 is very interesting. And I find it a telltale because we're talking about Bedouins in the desert here. How do they know about biology? In 12:5, also they shall be afraid of that which is high, fears shall be in the way, and the almond trees shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go out about the streets. Then it says, watch, 12:6, Ecclesiastes 12:6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto the God who gave it. There you go. She gets your attention. Vanities of vanities, saith the preacher. All is vanity. Now, what in the dickens did I just say? I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. And so you go to 12:6. The advice of the wise man is to remember the Creator before the silver cord is snapped. Where's the silver cord connected to? Your brain, your head, your pineal gland. That silver cord is that connection that God has to your soul, located in your brain, in that pineal gland. That's His house. Or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Now, it is, I'll admit, a little difficult to assign precise meanings to all these figures, but the snapping of the silver cord seems to refer to the breaking of the tender thread of life when the spirit is released from the body. And so the blind poet here apparently understood this as the way when she wrote Fanny Crosby, "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing, or the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the king." See, the golden bowl is understood to mean the cranial activity, the cranial cavity. The golden bowl is a cranial cavity to protect your pineal gland. And the breaking is a kind of a poetic picture of the cessation of the mind at the time of death. The broken pitcher and the wheel is taken together is in reference to the circulatory system with the breakdown of systolic and diastolic blood pressure. The broken pitcher and wheel. And the rigor mortis sets in. Then the body begins to return to dust at that point, when the spirit returns to God who gave it. Or so it seemed to Solomon. In the case of a believer, his conclusion is true. But in the case of an unbeliever, the spirit goes to Hades, there to await the great white throne judgment. The Freemasons are told that everybody goes to the great white throne, but that's a lie that they're being told. They think that everybody goes to the great white throne judgment. The more good deeds they do, they'll get over on everybody. That's a lie they're being told. It is absolutely not true. I've actually heard a Freemason say, "This ring is my ticket to heaven." Huh. The spirit will be reunited with the body. The body will be translated, and the entire person cast in the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 20 to 14. If they're not saved and born again. Revelation 20. 12 to 14. "And I saw the dead, great and small, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." See, hell gives it up for the judgment of the great white throne. "And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." That is clear as a bell. That's the great white throne judgment. Judgment seat of Christ is completely different. Family, this is important. So important to people to understand this. So many religions are taking people away from that understanding. It's so important. So victory over Satan, so that doesn't have to happen. Satan does this. His objective with his demons is to destroy people. That's what's ongoing today. All this broadcasting going on, talk shows, all this, man, they don't cover it at all. All they're doing is talking about the symptoms and the methods he's using to destroy lives. You've got some good videos out there telling you about the Nephilim and talking to them. Wasn't this guy named Trey or something? Really good video, 2 hours long. Right on track. But here's the problem. They don't tell you. They tell you about the Nephilim, about the demons, about the fallen angels and all that. But they're not telling you how to get away from it. They're not telling you how to deal with them. They're not telling you about Jesus. That's the purpose of them. It's to get you enthralled with all this knowledge of good and evil, but not how to deal with it. All of them are doing this. Drawn to a moth to a flame. Satan's main weapons is deceit and lies. Satan deceives people by making them think that all supernatural occurrences come from God. God did this, God did that. Blame God, not me. But all miracles do not come from God. Satan and his evil spirits, they can do many miraculous things that are beyond the power of men. Jesus said that the false prophets will come in the last days and deceive many people with great signs and wonders. Does he not tell us about this? Have nothing to do with Ouija boards, table lifting, seances, fortune tellers, fortune in fortune cookies or horoscopes, astrology, witchcraft. These things belong to the kingdom of darkness. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Satan hinders the work of God. When the gospel is preached, Satan is there to spread doubt and unbelief in the minds of those who hear it. That's why you have divisions in churches. So first you preach non-gospel in the gospel preaching church. Then you got people that really learning the gospel and say, wait a minute, that's not right. So they get excommunicated. Got a division. People follow the preacher, rabbi, or pope, but not God. They follow their religion, but not God. They love the church, it's close by the house, but not God. See, Satan oppresses Christians. He puts thoughts of doubt, fear, discouragement in their minds. He tries to discourage them so they'll not live for God. Did you hear what I just said? He tries to discourage them, but he puts thoughts of doubt and fear and discouragement in the minds. Let me tell you something. That's from supernatural forces that do this, right? They intermingle with your spirit, your soul, when you're not protected. This is frequency versus frequencies. Well, let me tell you something. Schumann resonance of this earth, his vibrational frequency is about 7.8, 8.2 hertz. They're able to direct ELF transmission. Electromagnetic lower frequency of waves at a certain 6.6 hertz, 2 below normal, causes the individual, without knowledge of it happening, to be depressed. Then they can speak to you through microphones using ELF transmission, microwave technology, psychotropic drugs to reduce your ability to withstand it, and actually put thoughts in your head by technology. It goes back 30 years. So they're able to synthesize demonic activity. So you got technology, synthetic demonic activity, and actual demons working against you. You see what's happening? You're not going to hear that too many places, but now the regular listeners, you've heard me talk about this before. This is causing the suicides. This causes riots, literally. And then when it happens, the demons have a smorgasbord of bodies they can inhabit. There's a cooperation between science, your Pentagon, the experimenters, the scientists in Russia that synthesized this technology, they're working together. That's why a lot of supernatural projects are classified. So once a demon gets a foothold, here comes discouragement, fear, doubt, lust, hate. Satan tempts Christians to commit terrible sins. He tries to deceive them into thinking that it would not be wrong for them to do these things. Do as thou wilt is the whole of the law, his New Age motto. He uses things of the world to turn their hearts away from God and from doing his will. He tries to keep them from making a full surrender of their lives to God. So, we're going to talk about, and probably we'll go to part two tomorrow night. I want to cover this as completely as I can. Why did Christ come here? Jesus Christ came into the world to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, there he was. That's why he came. Oh, by the way, the sons of God, I read this a little while ago, don't confuse being a son of God with the Old Testament reference to Son of God. The sons of God of the Old Testament were the fallen angels. They were not the sons of Seth. Jesus Christ had not yet come into the world in the Old Testament, therefore could not be a son of God. Sons of God were completely different in the Old Testament. But because Jesus Christ resurrected, you become born again. Now you're a son of God through Jesus Christ. Complete difference. Entirely. Reference. Completely unattached to the same reference. In the Old Testament, they referred to humans as son of man, never sons of God. You'll not find it in the Old Testament anywhere. New Testament, yeah. Old Testament, no. The cross is a place where Christ redeemed men from the power of Satan. Satan held men captive because of sin. Those at the highest level of government, science, military, wherever, they're in control, believe themselves to be free. But they're the ones captive. They're the ones in bondage to their jobs. They hold that dear. To the blood oath they took against God, they hold that dear. Many of them are involved in Satanism. That goes without saying. That they are the ones in captive. You're not. Satan then helped men captive because of sin. Well, on the cross, Lord Jesus paid for our sins. You're bought with a price. You're no longer under the bondage of sin, but you can be demonized. He ended all of Satan's rights over us. Men can now choose whom they will serve, and those who choose Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior are delivered from the power of Satan. Colossians 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the light, saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated, there you go, translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. There's that word translated again. And up from the grave he arose. A mighty triumph over his foes. It's also the cross is where Satan was defeated. The Bible does say that the Lord Jesus took our nature upon him that through death he might destroy him that had the power over death, and that is the devil. And you know, when he died on the cross, it kind of seemed as though the powers of darkness were victorious over him. But on the third day, he came back from Abraham's bosom. Aha. He arose from the grave with a mighty triumph over Satan's and his powers of darkness. He no longer had the bondage of mankind, but he came back to free will. The Lord Jesus appeared on the earth for a period of 40 days after resurrection. Tons of witnesses, 500 at one time. Before he ascended back into heaven, he said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28, verse 18. King James Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." So at that point, the darkness, the powers of darkness were defeated. Christ was exalted. Now, I'm going to stop there. See if I'd include tomorrow. I'm going to talk about principalities and powers. And we'll go to part two tomorrow and give you solutions. Some management principles and how to deal with this thing. Because this is what it all boils down to. Man, these people can attend all the financial classes they want to. They can go out there and get their little bug out bag and whatever else they got. They can worry their life away, be afraid of Nephilim, be afraid of, I don't know, the Russian Spetsnaz, whatever. Agenda 21, Nibiru, signs in the heavens. But it's laid out in the Bible what's going to happen. It already tells them. Don't tell you when, but it'll be able to tell what's going to happen as it happens. Everybody else is going to be flailing around, jumping around. You're going to have to lead them. God's going to expect you to help people. And God's going to put conviction in the heart of those in the false religions. They're going to know about what they don't know. And you may not have a Bible with you. But you pray for the words to speak at the time you speak, whether it's in a FEMA camp, in the desert, in the woods, at your home, wherever. Time's coming. So part two tomorrow on talking about Satan, and you got to know your enemy, how to defeat him. That's not being taught today. Some churches are teaching it, though. And I want to talk about that and how to live a Christian life, because that will guide you. Tomorrow. And if I need to mention something that I didn't mention tonight, send me an email and I'll talk about it tomorrow. If you have any questions or comments or recommendations, that's all well. It's received. Lord, we thank you tonight for being able to come together in the Bible study. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. Lord, guide us along as we study your word. Help our families. Help for those, Father, that we prayed for tonight for their healing, to bring families together. Touch the hearts of those as they want to bring back in the fold. Father, we pray for more times we can have with Bible studies to protect us, to stop the interruptions, Lord, to protect us with the blood of Jesus. Give us that wisdom, discernment to see through the truth, to the truth, and see through the deception. And these things we pray. Amen. Family, Jesus Christ is coming back. He rose up from that grave. He defeated the devil. you see, as what happened. That's what happened. And we go back to the old songs without the rock and roll. The rock and roll music takes away the conviction or the blessing. And the blessing's in the words. Not the music, but the words. Y'all have a good night. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock. And I'll remind you that, yeah, we're played up at Highport Radio, highportradio.net. Highportradio.net plays our broadcast and Bible studies. Name is John Kirkler. He has three towers up there in New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. And give him a call or look for him and visit there and see if, you know, listen to our broadcast up there. My website is watchfulforjesus.com. I got archives there. Go visit them if you'd like. Pass them around. And also Facebook. We put a lot of stuff on Facebook. Watchmen for Jesus. Family, there you go. That's my commercial. So y'all have a good night. God bless. And this is The Watchman. Signing off. Add a little something. Got a little sign marquee here. It says... give Jesus a try. If you don't like him, the devil can always take you back. Y'all have a good night. God bless. Signing off.